Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on April 30 regarding Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N, Eveland, E-V-E-L-A-N-D. Morgan Eveland is a 35-year-old woman who reports she was injured at work on 6-3-20. Appeared a desk brace broke and fell on her right hand and wrist. Appeared her palm was face up at the time and she was reaching for a broken piece of the desk. Appeared it fell and pushed her palm down. Period. This piece was 6 to 7 inches in length. Period. She did not go to the emergency room afterwards. Period. She had further evaluation leading to a diagnosis of a fractured wrist. Period. This was treated conservatively without surgical intervention. Period. New paragraph. As per her claim petition, Ms. Eveland indicated a wooden desk collapsed onto her right hand and wrist on 6-30-20. Period. Treatment records show she was seen on 7-1-20 by hand specialist Dr. Sarkos. Period. She was looking under a leaning desk as it collapsed on her hand the previous day. Period. She reported this to her supervisor and went to urgent care where x-rays were obtained and she was placed in a splint. Period. Surgical history was remarkable for a gastric sleeve procedure and she also suffered from anxiety and asthma. Period. Dr. Sarkos performed an evaluation and diagnosed right wrist pain as well as closed intra-articular fracture of the distal end of the right radius. Period. She was placed in a cock-up wrist brace and cleared to work with only the left hand. Period. She followed up with Dr. Sarkos on 8-5-20 when her hand was feeling better. Period. She did have some numbness and tingling. Period. X-rays were repeated. Period. She was going to discontinue her splint and begin immediate formal therapy. Period. New paragraph. On 10-29-20, she was then seen by another hand specialist named Dr. Lipschultz. Period. He had seen her for a second opinion on 9-21-20. Period. She had a healed right distal radius fracture after blunt force to her right hand and wrist. Period. This resulted in a closed intra-articular fracture. Period. Her biggest problem appears to be tendonitis and neuritis. Period. Most of the numbness is in the distribution of the dorsal radial sensory nerve. Period. She was discharged from formal physical therapy. Period. He wanted her to continue with Celebrex and Neurontin. Period. He cleared her to continue working, and she was going to follow up in 1 month. Period. She saw Dr. Lipschultz again on 11-19-20. Period. Clinical exam was unrevealing. Period. The numbness and tingling in the distribution of dorsal radial sensory nerve was improved. Period. He discharged her from care to return on an as-needed basis. Period. New paragraph on 5-27-21. She saw Dr. Lipschultz. Scratch that. On 5-10-21, she saw Dr. Lipschultz again for a need for treatment evaluation. Period. He discussed treatment options. Period. She returned on 5-27-21 and again on 6-17-21. Period. She had not yet obtained an EMG and CV of the right upper extremity. Period. She was referred for this once again. Period. On 7-15-21, she had an EMG by Dr. Gallagher to be inserted here. Period. Dr. Lipschultz reviewed these results with her on 8-19-21. Apparently, she was now almost a year and 2 months since the injury. Appeared her fracture was solidly healed. Apparently, she still had complaints of irritation of the dorsal radial sensory nerve. Apparently, she was no longer keeping a watch on that side and avoid pressure on the nerve. Apparently, wanted her to try her on Lyrica 75 milligrams at bedtime. Apparently, the EMG showed carpal tunnel syndrome with no ulnar nerve involvement. Apparently, she was not complaining of carpal tunnel symptomatology. She related getting some spasm over the hypothenar muscles. Apparently, this was relatively new and would be ulnar nerve mediated. Apparently, she did not see a relationship between her wrist injury and that complaint. But it might be secondary to how she is using her arm. She last saw Dr. Lipschultz on 9/30/21. She had full and symmetric forearm pronation and supination, as well as wrist dorsiflexion and palmar flexion. She had full digital range of motion. She still had intermittent neurogenic symptoms. She was resigned to live with her intermittent discomfort. She did not have a focal neurologic deficit. She had good strength. He discharged her from care to return on an as-needed basis. Physical exam. Extremities upper. Manual muscle testing was 5- for right hand grasp and 4+ for right pinch grip, but was otherwise 5/5. She was tender at the right radial wrist, but there was none on the left. Motion of the right index finger was full in all spheres, but elicited tenderness. There was no crepitus with range of motion of any of the fingers. That was also full. Hands, wrists, elbows. Filaments maneuver on the right elicited numbness in the thumb and small fingers. Denial sign was positive on the volar wrist on the right, which was negative on the left. She seemed to feign inability to make a fist with the right hand, index finger in particular. However, this was passively full. Spine cervical normal. In the paragraph, her hand anemometry demonstrated slightly reduced hand grasp strength on the right. Period impressions on 6/30/20. Morgan Eveland had her right hand and wrist struck by a broken desk at work. Period she was seen at an urgent care center where x-rays were done and she was placed in a splint. Period she quickly came under the care of Dr. Sarkos, who continued her in immobilization and prescribed medications. She followed up with him over the next several weeks through 8/5/20. New paragraph, she then also was seen by Dr. Lipschultz, who recommended additional treatment. This took place with various medications. She also had an EMG on 7/15/21 to be inserted here. Follow up with Dr. Lipschultz continues through 9/30/21. She declined surgical intervention was resigned to living with her symptoms. New paragraph, the current exam found her to feign inability to fully flex the right index finger. Passively, this was done completely. Right hand grasp strength was slightly diminished compared to the left. She is right-handed. She had somewhat non-anatomic responses to Phelan's maneuver on the right wrist. She had full range of motion of the cervical spine, and Sperling's maneuver was negative for radiculopathy. New paragraph, there is 5% permanent partial disability referable to the statutory right hand. This is for the orthopedic and neurologic residuals of a fracture at the distal radius, along with non-diagnostic slowing of the right ulnar nerve at the level of the elbow. Appears she also had incidental borderline right carpal tunnel syndrome. Period. He commented that it was possibly significant that before she underwent gastric sleeve surgery and subsequent weight loss, she was felt to be pre-diabetic. Period. After her gastric sleeve, she is no longer felt to be pre-diabetic. Period. That condition would predispose her to peripheral neuropathies. Period. And that is the end.